He's Dan Connolly via the Alpaca Ford Hotline. Dan, what's happening?
Hey, fellas, how are you?
All right. Now, before we get to the Orioles, the red hot now, winners of three in a row, Birds of Baltimore, winning close games on top of it. But you're a Baltimore guy. What are your thoughts on tonight's NFL draft and the Ravens at 29, usually pulling a rabbit out of their hat at some point?
Well, you know what? People have asked me this, and I'll tell you what. I remember thinking that the Ravens were crazy not to take Lawrence Phillips in their first draft and taking some offensive lineman, and then
because it's a
character issue, and then they take a guy in the, you know, the 22nd pick or whatever, who ends up coming from the thuggiest school in the country. So I pretty much, you know, figured they didn't know what they were doing then, and of course they got two Hall of Famers. So I'm kind of going to let Ozzie do what he does, but I don't know. I kind of like the kid from Boise State if he's still available, right?
The inside linebacker linebacker DN guy. Well, their mock drafts have him going probably ahead of where Baltimore might be. But you never know, as we know, fellas and ladies listening, if they want a guy, the Ravens tend to find out a way to move up a couple spots to get him here.
I tell you what, they
Shea McClellan's the player.
Anybody. And I mean, I love watching. You know, it's funny. It's not a sporting event, but I enjoy watching it. I enjoy seeing the intrigue and drama that goes with it. I'm a Notre Dame guy, so I'd like to see Harrison Smith be there for him. But it's funny because they're saying that he's going to go to the Giants, and the Giants may be the only team that does the draft better. Well, I guess with the Patriots, does the draft better than the Ravens. So it's always fun to watch it. So I'll be kind of checking it out on the side there.
Dan Connolly, the Baltimore Sun, his blog, Connolly Sports Bar, on the Sun website. He's on the Alpaca Ford Hotline. Dan, I said during the update, Orioles in the same place they were 11 days ago, trying to sweep the Blue Jays and sending Brian Mattis to the hill. What is the kind of leash on Brian Mattis tonight? Is it get them five innings? If they have a lead, they're going to yank him out and let the bullpen do the work, or are they going to try to run him out there as long as they can?
Well, I think they'll try to run him out there as long as they can. That said, you know, Jason Birkin is up. This would be Jason Birkin's regular pitching day. Based on rest down in Norfolk. He was just called up yesterday as part of the Andino going on the paternity list. So, I mean, I think they feel like they have a little bit of a cushion there with Jason Birkin if they need it, if Mattis runs into trouble. But this is an exceptionally important start for Brian Mattis, and they all have been. But, I mean, I think we're getting to the point where we're getting towards the end of April. He has not had a quality start. He has had to face some quality offenses, but he's still nibbling. He still has a high pitch count. And I think this is an important one for him, because if he doesn't show, you know, that he's taking the next step, I mean, a fully next step, then I think that this could be the last one for him up here. You know, it's a situation where people keep saying, he's getting better, he's improving, he's taking baby steps, but this is the majors, and it's hard to do that in the majors for an elongated period of time.
Well, a guy that's taking colossal steps for the Orioles in that rotation, at least based on his Colorado Rockies days, of course, Jason Hamill, another outstanding start for the Birds last night. Zeno and I were talking about it earlier, Dan. You can make a case for him being the best pitcher in the American League East in the month of April, so a lot of baseball left to be played, but so far has he exceeded expectations, had a great arm. Nobody denies that. But man, this guy's been lights out and dominant.
He's been absolutely dominant. And I mean, you know, I'll be honest. I think I have a pretty good sense of Major League Baseball, and this completely blindsided me. I did not see Jason Hamill being this dominant this early. I mean, you know, like you said, he's had a big arm. You know, you could see maybe there's you know, some upside there. But certainly not this. I mean, I remember seeing him pitch for the Rays. That's the last time I really had a chance to see him, because the Rockies have been in the National League. And, you know, and was thoroughly unimpressed. He was just a regular, maybe fourth or fifth starter in the major leagues, and that was it. He has been dominant. And, you know, his sinker has been fantastic. You know, he did not give up a fly ball until the sixth inning yesterday. You know, he's throwing that two-seamer, and then all of a sudden he comes back with 95, 94 mile an hour cheese up, you know, up the guy's eyes, and they swing through it. He's been mixing his pitches as well as anybody I've seen so far this year. And I mean, if he can keep that up, you know, and I mean, obviously his stuff's got to be there, the stamina's got to be there. But I mean, you know, they look like they got at the very least, a pretty decent, fairly consistent pitcher here.
We're talking with Dan Connolly, the Baltimore Sun, here on the Alpaca Ford Hotline. How much longer do we expect Jim Johnson to be out? I heard that there was a kind of a flu bug going around the entire clubhouse.
Well, there was, but this seems a little bit more serious, Mark. I mean, you know, he's been in the hospital for two. He went in the hospital overnight Monday night around 2 a.m., you know, Tuesday morning. And I haven't heard. I'm not going to be texting him now or anything like that, but I haven't heard. But he was supposed to be overnight again Wednesday night into today. So, I mean, it's fairly serious. And, I mean, even Buck said that, you know, it's a bacterial thing, and they're not sure. They're trying to figure out what caused it and what the actual situation is. So when I say serious, I mean, I'm not talking about something, you know, super serious at this point, but we're, you know, this is more than just a flu bug. He had been sick all week, and you know, when I was in Anaheim with him, he was joking that one of the reporters had given him the bird flu because he felt terrible, and, you know, and he was washed out and everything else. But he was still picking up saves. But this has been dogging him for over a week now, and so we're not really sure what it is. Doctors were ruling out all kinds of different things. He was doing all kinds of tests. He was frustrated from what Buck said. So, I mean, my guess is we won't see him for another couple of days. And, you know, and if it's real serious, that we probably, you know, he could possibly go on the disabled list. But I think that might be a stretch at this point. But he might be washed out for a few days.
Now, Dan, another guy that's been out of the Oriole lineup, at least recent games, has been Nolan Reimold, who bristled at the notion he was injury-prone yesterday when he talked to Jerry Coleman, 105.7 The Fan. What's the latest with Reimold dealing with these neck spasms, neck strain, whatever the case may be here?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. It kind of cropped up in Chicago on Wednesday night into Thursday, and then he went out and played on Friday, hit a home run, had three hits, and halfway through the game on Friday, he told me that he was having trouble even, you know, throwing and kind of moving his neck. After the game, when he cooled down, he could not move his neck at all. He couldn't move it from the left side to the right side, up or down. Talked to him yesterday, and he has been able to move it left and right without a problem. He took swings in the batting cage. The only real problem he was dealing with was if he stretched his neck out and kind of pushed it down, like where your chin would hit your chest. That's kind of where he was really feeling the strain still. But he's seen a chiropractor 3 of the last 6 days. He felt like he was improving. I would think he gets into the starting lineup either today or, you know, this weekend for sure. He said yesterday it's not going to be a DL situation. He hopes to avoid it. The Orioles hope he can avoid it. So I would think that within the next couple of days he'll be back in.
Dan, you've been covering baseball for over a decade now, right?
Right. Yeah. 12 years.
Okay. How do you feel about crooked hats?
I say wear the hats the way they're supposed to be worn. Although, you know what? I will say that, but I don't mind. Me personally, I'll flick them back and put them on the back of my head, like catcher style on occasion. But
yes,
when you're out there on the field, your hat should be straight up. And you should look professional.
And the only thing that baffles me is that I remember Buck Showalter, when he was managing the Yankees, was the guy who got on Ken Griffey Jr. for wearing a backwards hat.
Well, he got on Robert Andino for the very first day. I don't know if you guys know that story, but your listeners, it's a hilarious story. One of the first days, he walked in, and Andino introduced himself. He had it cocked kind of to the side, the way he liked, you know, likes wearing his hat. And he said, "What's up?" Showalter looked right at him and said, "What's going on with your hat?" He goes, this doesn't, you know, and you try to make an excuse. He says, "Well, it doesn't fit right." He goes, "Well, let's go to Jimmy Tyler, who's the equipment manager. Let's get you a hat that fits." He took Robert Andino to Jimmy Tyler to get a new hat, to have one that can actually sit on his head. So I think that for the most part, Showalter is kind of a stickler for that still.
So how does Pedro Strop get away with it?
Well,
he throws 99 miles an hour.
Our cheese.
Yeah.
Well, like I said yesterday, he could wear a beanie with a propeller on it as long as he's getting people out. It's all that
matters. As long as he's doing that. And that guy, I tell you what, we talked about Hamill. This guy, Strope, to me, is the biggest surprise or most pleasant surprise of the year. You know, it's a shame that Jim Johnson is in the situation he is, and he'll come back and he'll be the closer. And Jim's done very, very well, 15 straight. But, I mean, we can see now. We had it in our minds that maybe Pedro Strope could be a closer in the future. And the way he's handled it the last 2 times, I think that if something happens to Jim Johnson, or they want to move Jim Johnson to the rotation or whatever, they have a guy who can be a viable closer or certainly late inning, if not a closer guy, for years to come. He's only 26 years old. He's under control for a long time, and they got him basically for Mike Gonzalez last year.
He's Dan Connolly, Baltimore Sun, covers the Birds of Baltimore. Dan, I'll see you tomorrow down at Camden Yards.
All right, take care, guys.